Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this week's Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and ultimately successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accept and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in." And you're not only in, but in at the right program for you. Now, an important part in any application for graduate management education is a test score that accompanies the other elements of your application. For most people, that means the GMAT score. Today, I will chat with Rich D'Amato, GMAC's Vice President of Global Communications, who will give us the latest news about the GMAT and GMAC. Now, GMAC may be best known or may be thought of in your mind as that diabolical organization that develops and administers the GMAT. But in fact, it is also a tremendous research entity for the entire graduate management education world, studying the attitudes, desires, and outcomes for applicants, alumni, recruiters, and yes, even admissions offices, and also providing tremendous resources for different stakeholders in the biz ed world. Before we hear from Rich, I would like to remind you that if you have an admissions-related question that you would like me to address, just go to the show notes at info.accepted.com/94 and post your question as a comment. You can also send me questions via email at questions@accepted.com. If your question is chosen, I'll ask and answer it on the show. We're developing a supportive, collaborative, and thoughtful community on Accepted. So feel free, don't be afraid, don't be shy. You can comment, share a concern, or easily ask a question. And actually, just yesterday, somebody posted a question on the blog that I think is just perfect for today's session, and I'm going to pose it a little later for Rich. Now, a little background about Rich. He's been working as VP or Senior VP of Communications since 1997 when he was AOL's Vice President of International Communications. He then moved into the not-for-profit world and served as AOL's Vice President for Community Investment and then Vice President of Communications for the Stephen M. Case Foundation. He has been GMAC's Vice President for Global Communications since 2010. Rich, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you, Linda. Thanks for having us.
Now, let's look at a few of the more recent services GMAC has developed. One is the Enhanced Score Report. Can you please describe the Enhanced Score Report? What is it, and what are the benefits of purchasing it to applicants?
There are actually two Enhanced Score Reports. There's one that's called the GMAT Prep Enhanced Score Report and one that is the GMAT Enhanced Score Report. Both of them have been designed to help students understand exactly how and where they scored on the GMAT exam, where they might make improvements, where their strengths lie. But most importantly, it's designed to help them do their best on the exam. So the GMAT Enhanced or the GMAT Prep Enhanced Score Report is designed to help people as they're preparing for the exam to be able to go back and use what they learn. And the way the Enhanced Score Report works is it takes your score, it breaks it down not just question by question, but into the subsections and helps you understand, was it algebra or geometry that gave me a challenge? Is that where my strength lies and perhaps I should give my study efforts to another portion or another section of the exam? So that one gives you that opportunity to work on the prep and get ready for the test, and that's part of Exam Pack 1, which has proven over the years to be really our most popular prep add-on. So you've got free GMAT prep, and to that you can add several hundred questions that allow you to go deeper and deeper into your preparation, and through that preparation to then be able to produce an enhanced score report and understand exactly how you did. The second one is the GMAT prep or the GMAT enhanced score report. And what that allows you to do is that post-testing, you can get a look at where you scored, where you didn't score, and make a decision. It can be used to make a decision to perhaps cancel a score. It can be made to use the decision to say, I think I'll take the test again because I want to do better in particular areas based on the schools I'm targeting. And it really gives you also the opportunity to understand your strengths when you get to play a part, perhaps writing an essay or doing interviews with schools where you can begin to talk to them about exactly why you think you'll succeed in their program based on understanding in a really detailed manner how you did on the GMAT exam. one of the ways in which we developed it was to spend about 3 to 5 months going out and talking directly to students, asking them what would they like to see in a report, how would they use that report, and how can we present the information to them. So when you look at the report, when you purchase it, you'll find that it really goes deep into the subsections. It helps you understand what your timing was. It tells you how you did relative to others who took the exam and who scored in that section. And it really then also gives you some advice where it might tell you, spend some time working on that algebra, spend some time working on that geometry or sentence correction. So it's a terrific tool both in the prep stages as well as in the admission stages and the application stages.
Okay, so the prep score report does not require the applicant to actually take the GMAT exam, correct? You can do that with practice exams?
You're doing it within the context of prep, and in prep and using those additional prep questions, you can actually take an exam. You can take a retired exam, if you will.
Right.
It's a real experience. So it's not just questions and then how did I do, but it is actually sitting down and taking the exam, and that's very important in prep, not only because obviously you can produce the GMAT prep enhanced score report, but because in preparing for the exam, you want to learn about your pacing. You want to learn how to recognize questions. So the enhanced score report really can help you understand, how's my prep going? Am I doing the things I need to do in order to do my best when I go to take the exam?
But the score report would not show up on the score report that goes to school.
No. Of course,
that's my question.
This is the prep score report.
Got it.
The enhanced score report is really just for the student. It is not shared with schools. It's intended both in the prep section as well as in the final taking of the exam. It's intended for the student to improve their performance. It's not a matter of schools looking at it to understand exactly how a student did.
And how much do these score reports cost, the enhanced score reports?
The exam pack one, which, as I said, comes with many extra questions to help enhance your prep experience, is $49.99. Mm-hmm. The test prep or the GMAT enhanced score report itself is $29.99 and is available, again, after you take the exam.
Got it. Okay. All right. They are definitely, it sounds like, wonderful tools for anybody preparing for the GMAT, especially if they're not getting the scores that they want to be getting.
We've heard great things coming back out of the market. I think that we had one particular prep instructor who said that with the enhanced score report, it's no longer just an indicator of your performance, but also a guide to how to improve your performance. And I think that's really the important thing, is that what we heard from students was that they wanted something that clearly and easily fed back to them how are they doing and where can they work to improve.
Okay. Now, can you go over also the score preview, which is another recent innovation at GMEC? How does it work? Has it proven popular? What is the cost of that?
Sure. Score preview has proven quite popular.
Yeah.
What it does for you is it allows you to look at your score following your testing and ask yourself, did I score in the range that I wanted to score in? And I would emphasize, people should look at this as a range. They should never just look, did I get the exact score I wanted, but really look, did I get a score in the range of the schools that I'm looking to apply to?
Right.
So it allows you to then take a look at your score and make a decision at the testing center immediately following you're taking the test. Is this one I want to send? Is this one I would prefer then to cancel? And people are using it for different reasons. I think some people are using it as a matter of saying, I want to practice. I want to take the exam. I know I'm not going to take this score because I want to just see, where do I stand? Where did I make mistakes? Or where, you know, let me just get the experience under my belt. Others are using it as a means of saying, that wasn't within the range I was looking for. I want to come back and take it again. Now, it works quite simply. You make the decision. You, on the interface within the computer adaptive testing, you simply say, cancel score. You can make that decision up to 48 hours after you take the exam. I think we give people the opportunity to go home and ask themselves, you know, did I get the score in the range that I was looking for? If not, am I prepared to go back and begin sort of some of the prep again and reschedule and take again? And then you have 60 days to make a decision as to whether or not you wish to reinstate that score. So you may go back and decide, you know what, I'm not prepared to study again. Or you may, in best case scenario, say, this is the score that will really get me into the schools that I want to go to. Or you can be saying to yourself, I've taken it again, I didn't do as well, I'd like to reinstate that first score. You have 60 days to make that decision from the time at which you cancel the score, and the cost of reinstating the decision is $100.
And if you accept the score at the time of the exam, you have 48 hours to change your mind on that?
You have 48 hours to change your mind and go back in and cancel your score.
And if you cancel, you have 60 days to reinstate. So you actually That's have correct. A fair, you know, you have some flexibility going both ways.
Well, both the enhanced score report, which we just spoke about, and the score preview have been designed really to give more control and confidence to candidates as they're making their sort of testing decisions.
How long will it take applicants to get the enhanced score report?
The enhanced score report, I believe, is available immediately. You'll have taken the exam, you go back, you'll make the purchase of the enhanced score report, and then you'll get a score report back. I think what the way you do it is you go into your MBA.com account, the account you use to register, and you order the score report, and then the score report is available to you through that account.
I see. Okay. Now, just yesterday, I received the following question on our blog from Zach. Zach wrote, Hi, Linda. I just took the GMAT for the first time and couldn't get the score I expected. If I had the exam next month and canceled my score again, then would it be possible to reinstate either of those two exam scores, the highest one, obviously, within the 60-day time period for each?
Within the 60-day time period for each, that's correct, yes. So he could come back, Zach could come back, test again after 31 days, decide to potentially cancel that second score, reach back and reinstate the first score before the 60 days lapsed.
For the first score. Okay, great. Wonderful. Now,
good.
I think one of the big questions facing MBA applicants, at this point in time at least, is which test to take. You know, now most schools are accepting the GRE or the GMAT, and the GRE is less expensive than the GMAT. From your perspective, what is the value proposition to applicants for the GMAT, given that it is more expensive and that schools say they accept the GMAT and the GRE equally?
Well, the GMAT clearly has been helping students for 60 years, more than 10 million of them, kick off their career aspirations by demonstrating that they're genuinely serious about a career in business and expressing to schools not only that seriousness, but also their skills and the skills that will help them succeed in the classroom. So it's predictive ability. It's ability to help people understand, will I do well in this program? Will I do better in that program? Is really important. And I think the other is the expression of how serious you are. Schools genuinely have looked now for six decades at the GMAT as a demonstration of that seriousness and as a demonstration of those skills. So I think it's really kind of clear for those who are serious about business that this is the serious test that demonstrates that. But there is clearly a space for the GRE and the work that it's doing when you're talking about people who are perhaps double majors or a minority of people who are saying, I'm not sure whether I really want to go to business school. I want to leave my options open. So I'd say that the value proposition lies in the demonstration both of your seriousness as well as in your demonstration of your skills. So the recent addition of integrated reasoning demonstrates your skills in dealing with data. That not only is something you want to show to schools, it's something you want to show to recruiters. It's something you want to be able to demonstrate and be able to talk about effectively as one of your core skills when you're going to talk with schools as well as when you're leaving school talking with recruiters and saying to them, I did really well here. I demonstrated to the school that I was very serious, not only that, but I had the appropriate skills to succeed in the classroom as well as to succeed in the business world.
Right. I know that there was a time when GMAC, at least I can't remember the exact quote, but they were not happy that the recruiters were using the GMAC as a screening tool to a certain extent. Has that changed? I mean, it certainly is happening. The elite management consulting firms and investment banks definitely do use GMAC score as a screening tool and as a sign of ability to succeed, not just in business school, but in business. Is GMAC embracing that function a little bit more?
GMAT is not designed to be a recruitment tool. As you pointed out, though, Linda, many companies, some of the leading consulting firms, leading banking firms, finance firms, look to the GMAT again as a demonstration of skills, but more importantly, they really look to it as a demonstration of the seriousness with which a student intends to pursue a career in business.
Okay. Now, GMAC's recent alumni survey, in addition to, once again, revealing overwhelming satisfaction with the alumni's graduate management education, also explored the role of entrepreneurial traits among alumni. And those traits specifically were innovativeness, risk-taking behavior, and initiative or proactiveness. Mm-hmm. According to the survey, these traits are associated with entrepreneurship as well as career success in the corporate world. Would GMAC consider developing some kind of test to check for these qualities or others that are valuable in management in the future? Is that something?
I don't know that I would say that we would be developing a test, and that particular research that you're referring to, the alumni survey, one of my favorite pieces of research we've released in the last year or so, not only because of this overwhelming demonstration, and I think the number was 4 out of 5 alumni said that their graduate management education contributed to improvements in that competitiveness, that proactiveness, that innovation. So I think that what we would look to is to continue to promote management education as a path to career success. Mm-hmm. Not only did they say that it helped on those entrepreneurial skills, as you put it, but many of these alumni also said that their career trajectories showed a consistency in reaching higher levels in the organization faster, with a majority of them saying within 5 years they'd led to senior positions. They also said, and I think this is a very interesting finding, more than 90% of them said that their earning power was boosted.
Oh, yeah.
And it was boosted in almost all regions of the world up to sixfold. So I think what's interesting here and what's important here for people to understand is that management education is a path to career success. Now, you're asking about whether we would create a test. We've created a skills test, a soft skills test called Reflect. Mm-hmm. And that really does look at what's your drive, what are your operational thinking benefits, what are your strategic thinking strengths. So we have looked at and developed an assessment of those soft skills that do contribute, and I think most people can see they contribute a great deal to success in the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly one of the things that's, it's so refreshing to a certain extent, and it's so consistent in the alumni survey reports going back years, is the overwhelmingly high level of satisfaction among business school alumni.
Yeah, I think that has been for decades proof that management education is delivering. I think I've heard it described, the MBA in particular, as the most successful educational product of the 20th century. I think it's moved well into the 21st century and continues to really contribute to that career success. And that's why you see such high levels of satisfaction in the 90-plus range year after year after year.
Yeah.
One, I think they are undertaking the degree with a great deal of consideration. They are asking themselves, what are the trade-offs from opportunity costs? What are the costs of the education? What am I going to get out of it in the end from the personal, the professional, and the financial standpoint? And again, year after year, decade after decade, people are genuinely saying that it provides value. In fact, the alumni survey that you referred to reached back all the way to 1959 in talking to alumni that graduated in 1959. And we see that consistently across the board, that satisfaction is high.
Right. It's interesting. Certainly that any data I have seen, whether it's GMAC's data, Forbes data, Financial Times, talks about the high ROI on the MBA degree and the high degree of satisfaction. At the same time, though, there are doomsday sayers, right? Haas Dean, Rich Lyons recently predicted that half of the U.S. business schools could be out of business in 5 to 10 years. Would you agree with that prediction? What concerns you about the future of the MBA and graduate management education? MOOCs, oversupply, move to offline, weakening the MBA brand, or are you optimistic based on just past success?
This is a very dynamic industry and always has been a dynamic industry. I think what you saw in the development of new degrees is an entrepreneurial response from schools to meet the students where they want to be, whether it's part-time or whether it's MBA programs. There's always the doomsdayers when it comes to the MBA. I think every few years we hear it's lived out its useful life, and yet recruiters keep coming back to it, and students keep coming back to it as well. So we also, at the end of 2014, produced a year-end employer poll, which we released in early January.
Yeah.
72% of employers are looking to hire MBAs.
Right.
41% are looking to hire masters in management. Anywhere you look in the management degree space, there's a demand for those people in the workplace. So I think what concerns me is continuing to deliver value to students that comes to them and they look for it in the form of career success. I think the challenges that are coming from different forms of the education are ones that in many ways are being driven by business schools themselves, looking at what do consumers, in this case students, want. How do they want to engage with their education? So I think there are challenges, but those challenges are being in many ways driven by the industry, and they are being driven to continue to deliver both those high levels of success, those high levels of satisfaction, and to provide employers what they're looking for, which are these, you know, well-educated, well-motivated, very serious about their business career, students transitioning, whether it's a career switcher or career accelerator. That's what companies are looking for, and they're finding it and consistently are finding it in the form of graduate management graduates.
Now, you commented a moment ago, you touched a moment ago on the growth of specialized business degrees, especially the master's in management. Can you comment a little bit more on the growth of those degrees, specifically the MIM?
Well, they have been growing over the last decade, maybe a little bit more than that. And it has been both a specialization as well as a segmentation of the market, once again based on what students are looking for. We saw a great deal of acceleration in things like master's in accounting, master's in finance, master's in management over the last 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that has moderated a little bit, especially if you look at the master's in accountancy.
Right.
Much of that might have been driven by international students looking to get right out of undergraduate, right into a graduate program, many of them choosing that master's in accountancy or master in accountancy or master in finance. What we've seen recently, though, is a move back towards some of the MBA, the two-year MBA programs. In fact, in our last application trend survey, more than 60% of schools reported an increase in applications and an expected increase in applications to their two-year MBA programs. And some reported a drawing back on some of those masters. So I think it is a dynamic industry, as I described it before, driven often by what people are both desiring. Do I want to go straight from undergraduate into a graduate program? Do I want to get some work experience? Am I switching careers? Am I looking to accelerate my career? And that goes in different directions at different times. But I think what students should be looking at is the overall high demand for management skills and for graduate management degrees being brought to the workplace.
Absolutely. I've also had, I mean, obviously you're looking at it from a data, a macro perspective.
Sure.
I've interviewed many recent MBA grads who has started their own business, they're pursuing their entrepreneurial dream, and I always ask them, do you find that the MBA was worth it? You know, maybe some of them had really, really impressive work experience prior to starting the MBA degree. You know, did you learn anything in business school? And every single one answers absolutely, unequivocally, oh, yes, it was absolutely worthwhile. Obviously, it's an individual decision whether you go and you pursue an MBA degree, but for me, I would definitely do it again. It was 100% worthwhile.
I think in some ways the definition of entrepreneurship or entrepreneurialism is changing. It's not just about starting a company. It really is about sustaining a company. It really is about creating something with value. and with sustainable value and creating something that makes a contribution and has significance within a community. And I believe that these graduate degrees and this graduate management education helps entrepreneurs do that, helps them sustain their company, helps them understand growth, helps them understand organization, and helps them make that significant contribution to their communities, to the lives of their employees, and to their own lives. As I've said before, when you look at it from the personal, the professional, and the financial satisfaction levels, it's very high, and it has been high for a very long time. So I think you're right to note that even entrepreneurs benefit from a graduate management education, and I think they benefit by being able to understand that sustainable end of being an entrepreneur, not just the starting end.
It's also an ability, and this is what I think is coming clear to me, at least through these interviews that I've been doing, that it's an ability to articulate really a grand vision, maybe even an audacious vision, and then take the steps necessary to realize that division, that vision, or at least go in the direction of realizing that vision with confidence, with poise, with skills and knowledge. And I think that's something that these entrepreneurs have really gotten from their MBA experiences.
Well, that certainly is management education at its best, is giving people that sense both of purpose, but not just of purpose, but of process.
Yeah.
The ability to sustain it and move it forward.
And really impressive individuals, and in terms of what they're building.
That's great.
Yeah. What are, just to get back to GMAT and GMAC, from your perspective, what are some of the most important GMAT prep tips?
Sure. Well, the first thing I'll do is I'll tell people to go to MBA.com and to go to the test prep advice area.
Okay.
There's just a wealth of information, not just simply delivered by us in the form of, here's a tip, but really delivered by students in a bunch of videos that make it easy to access it and easy to understand it. So shared content around how to prepare for the exam, what represents success. And I think you're hearing everything from have a plan. I think you're hearing, don't be overwhelmed. I think you're hearing, spend the time it takes to prepare for it. And I think over the years, that's probably the best tip you can give anyone, is that there is a correlation between preparation and performance. Now, that's no big surprise to anyone. It might even seem clearly obvious, but going about it with a study plan, with a purpose, and really asking yourself these things. Can I recognize the questions quickly? Can I understand what kind of question I'm being asked? Is this a data sufficiency question? Is this a sentence correction question? So taking the time to do that. Taking the time also to understand pacing. Pacing is really important. It both helps you focus as you're going through the exam and not worry about how much time do I have left, because you've actually tested yourself and paced yourself throughout your preparation. So I think that's a tremendously important one. Working on specific skills, I think this is where ESR, the Enhanced Score Report, comes in.
Yeah.
Take the test prep, use the exam pack, use those additional questions, use the tests that are in there that you can take and get real live feedback on. Use that to work on the skills that you need to work on so that you're going in confident that not only do you know what you know, but you knew what you didn't know and prepared to improve on it as you got to the test. And I think that's important. And I think the other is also understanding that this is a reasoning exercise. This isn't a math test or a verbal test. It's a reasoning exercise. It tests your reasoning skills. And to go in with that mindset, to go in confident, and not to sort of defeat yourself before you've gotten in. And I think that's really important. Mindset is one of the things that students tell us over and over and over again is important. So they've taken the time to prep. They've taken the time to understand what kinds of questions and to recognize them quickly. They know that they're keeping themselves on pace. They understand this computer adaptive test and how you answer the last question will provide for you what the next question is. But they're going in confident, and they're going in knowing that they've done their prep. So I think that mindset piece is more important than most people give it. The other advice I would give is don't fall prey to some of the myths. Don't try and figure out how to beat the test. Not that I think it is really about that prep. It's about getting that level of confidence. Thinking that there's some magic bullet, I think this is, again, something that students tell us and that share with other students and other test takers on MBA.com, is this idea that, I thought there must be some magic bullet, but it really came down to my prep, and it really came down to having a study plan, and it really came down to being disciplined about getting that study plan achieved. Those would be, at least at the top level, some tips for how to perform your best, your personal best, on the GMAT.
I think last year or 2 years ago, there was a GMAC conference in Los Angeles that I attended, and one of the presentations, one of the slides, showed an incredibly strong correlation, surprise, surprise, between time spent in prep and the GMAT score, simply hours. Hours, yeah. And points.
and you would think that is, as I say, somewhat obvious, but it's one of those things that I think can't be understated. It is no guarantee of performance, but it certainly, there is a correlation between the amount of time you spend, how focused that time is, what tools you are using to fill that time. I mean, just simply reading the official guide over and over and over and over again is not necessarily well-spent time, nor is it well-planned time. But if you put that time in, you have that study plan, and again, I would emphasize people should take a look at the test prep advice section on MBA.com. There is that direct correlation that you spoke about.
Okay, great. Rich, I think we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining me. Normally I ask guests at this point where listeners can learn more about your work, but I guess the basic site is the one you gave, which is MBA.com, right?
Yeah, there's such a wealth of information and advice, and as I said before, shared advice between actual test takers, not just GMAC telling you how to do your best on the GMAT, but fellow students telling you how they did their best on the GMAT. I think MBA.com is just a tremendous resource.
All right. We'll include a link in the show notes at info.exceptive.com/94 to MBA.com, as well as to related articles in the show notes and the question from Zach that I mentioned earlier and asked Rich to address. Listener, thank you, too, for joining Rich D'Amato and me for our 94th episode. If you feel the show was helpful to you, I have a favor to ask. Please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk, especially if you leave a nice, glittery, 5-star kind of feedback. But we'll take whatever you want to leave. You'll find a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.